As parents see the academic and working worlds become increasingly competitive, a lot of them expect a lot from their kids as they juggle academics, sports, activities, jobs, and more. Our next guest says that a hyper-focus on achievement is creating anxiety, depression, and more for many young people, but there's a better way. In her new book, she says parents can help their kids succeed without causing unnecessary stress. And the starting point is to look at kids as people, developing their sense of selves and their connections with others instead of as a list of achievements. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Does your child experience a lot of stress and anxiety from school? Is there a lot of pressure to get the great grades, do the activities to build up that resume maybe for college? How are you working with them? Do you feel like sometimes you're working against them? Did you feel a lot of pressure to succeed when you were in school? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Jennifer Wallace is a journalist and the author of the New York Times bestselling book, Never Enough, When Achievement Culture Becomes Toxic and What We Can Do About It. Jennifer, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Now, you focus on kids in high-achieving schools and many times parents hoping for the best for the schools, for their kids in the school. There's a sense, there's almost a cliche out there, oh, these coddled kids today, they have things so easy. That is not what you found when you started digging into things.
It isn't. And actually, one researcher I spoke to said that she thought these kids were the opposite of coddled. They were pushed. I started this research because I myself am a mother of three teenagers. And I wanted to know, was this what I was feeling in my house? Was it being felt everywhere? And I will tell you, after 4 years of researching and traveling all around the country, this achievement pressure is being felt everywhere.
What is driving that? Because it's worse, you say in the book, than it used to be.
Yes. So when I was growing up in the 70s and early 80s, life was generally more affordable. Housing, healthcare, higher education, food was more affordable. Parents, you know, when I was growing up, parents were relatively assured that even with some missteps, our kids, their kids would most likely be able to replicate their upbringing, if not do even better. That was the American dream, right? To do even better than your parents. But today's modern parents are really seeing the first generation millennials who are not doing as well as their parents are. And so parents are absorbing these new macroeconomic forces, steep inequality, the crush of the middle class, hyper competition that's come with globalization. They're absorbing these pressures and becoming social conduits, sort of passing these pressures and anxieties about the future onto their kids and their parenting. This is not to blame parents. This is simply to give parents a context on why they feel they must parent so intensively.
You talk to a lot of parents who are in this zone, this sense that they need to promote achievement for their kid. You also talk to many of their kids. What kind of things were you hearing about how this actually plays out in their daily lives?
Yes. Well, I was listening to kids who were trying to get by on 4 or 5 hours of sleep. I heard about peers competing with each other and undermining each other's efforts in order to get ahead. What I heard was what used to be buffers in a child's life, close friendships, relationships with parents and teachers and coaches, those relationships in too many cases were just added sources of pressure. It feels as though for so many kids, these buffers, the relationships that are supposed to buffer against the stress, now just add to it.
Let's talk about how we talk to kids about these things. One trap that is easy to fall into, I have kids who are 20 now, I'm sure I did this over the years, complimenting them solely on the achievement, on the good stuff.
Yes, so it's so easy, and I've certainly fallen into this trap myself. But one psychologist I interviewed gave me great advice that I have really implemented in my home. He said, the self becomes stronger, less by being praised, which can feel like pressure, and more like being known. So what I've done in my own house is I call it getting a PhD in my kids. I try to find out who my kids are uniquely. What makes them tick? What are their natural character strengths? And I point them out as much as I can. Instead of focusing on their achievements, I focus on who they are deep at their core.
the pratfall, the pitfall, when we only focus on those achievements, you write, is you heard from kids who feel like, you know, do my parents only love me when I get the A or when I make the team or whatever?
Yes, exactly. I will tell you, for this book, I went in search, I heard those stories, but then I went in search of the healthy strivers. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know what they had in common. What was home life like? What was school like? Their relationships with their peers. And I found a bunch of about 14 or so things that these healthy strivers had in common. But it boiled down to this. These healthy strivers felt like they mattered for who they were deep at their core, away from their achievements, away from their successes. The kids who seemed to be struggling the most were those, as you mentioned, who felt as though their mattering was contingent on their performance, as in they only mattered when. And the other group of kids who also seemed to be struggling the most were kids who felt like they mattered to their parents. They heard it in the words, but they were never depended on or relied on to add meaningful value back to anyone other than themselves. So what these kids lacked was social proof that they mattered.
We're talking to journalist and author Jennifer Wallace about her new book, Never Enough, When Achievement Culture Becomes Toxic and What We Can Do About It. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your experiences, or your questions for our guest. Has this sounded like something that's gone on in your family, the need to achieve things, to do well in school in the hopes of maybe getting into a good college? Was pressure ever too much, do you think, for your kid or for you if you're the kid in this equation? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Jennifer Wallace is with us. We're talking about her new book. It's called Never Enough, When Achievement Culture Becomes Toxic and What We Can Do About It. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you have a question, an experience to share as a parent, a student, maybe a teacher, call in at 800-642-1234. Jennifer, we often hope to make sure our kids are independent and self-reliant, and you say those are good things. But you say we sometimes fall down in how we teach things about interconnection with others, supporting others and reaching out for support when we need it.
Yes. So one of the traits that these healthy strivers had in common was that they knew the skills of interdependence. That is, they knew how to rely on others and how to have others rely on them in healthy ways. I think often we believe, as you mentioned, that our job is just to raise, you know, very independent adults, but really what we need to do is teach them how to, in the words of Ned Halliwell, never worry alone. That the greatest safety nets we could give our kids are relationships, meaningful, deep connections with others.
One way we can teach that, you say, Jennifer, is to demonstrate it as parents ourselves, to seek help, to seek networks, to talk about parenting with other people.
The number one intervention for any child in distress is to make sure that the primary caregivers, most often the parents, that their support system is intact, that their mental health is intact, because our children's resilience rests on our resilience, and our resilience rests on the depth and support of our relationships. So it is critical that we model, but that we also just take the time that we need to be fed, to be seen, heard, and nourished by our relationships.
Another really humble thing parents can do is encourage chores, you write. Why is that? How can chores help foster that feeling of interdependence?
Right. So chores, and I would argue that maybe we stop calling them chores, because I think instead maybe we just talk about things that the family needs help with and brainstorming who can help it. What chores do is they teach, you know, family is the first society, the first introduction to society for a child. So chores teach kids how to be contributing members of the family, AKA society. And the way that I started talking about chores per the experts that I interviewed was noting how they were helping the family. So not like you have to do this because I said so, but dad's making dinner, so we need somebody to set the table. mom's working on a deadline, who can take your brother to soccer practice? So these are ways that we help that we create this healthy interdependence within a family.
Talking to Jennifer Wallace about her new book, Never Enough, When Achievement Culture Becomes Toxic and What We Can Do About It. Jennifer, we've been focusing on parents and kids. You also have advice for schools and colleges. Let's start at schools. What can teachers, district administrators do to help take some of this achievement pressure off of kids?
I mean, I think one great place to start is through this mattering framework. Mattering has been an idea since the 1980s, but it's been locked away in the ivory tower. What my book has done is it's the first commercial book to bring this idea into action. So teaching parents, teaching kids, teaching teachers, the language around mattering, the framework. And one way to do this, I co-founded a nonprofit, thematteringmovement.com, to give teachers free tools. Another thing that schools can do is to make sure that there is support for the teachers. So just like parents are the first responders to our kids' struggles, and so our resilience matters, it's the same with teachers. Our teachers are the first responders to 30 kids in that classroom. And what we need to do is shore up their mattering and their resilience.
Probably want to bring you back for a whole nother conversation about the concept of mattering, but can you give us a sense of what that might look like in a classroom?
Mattering in a classroom is having every single child there feel like they not only are valued, but that they are depended on and relied on to add value back. Oprah Winfrey talked about how her fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Duncan, was the first person to make her feel like she mattered because she gave her a job to do. I believe it was watering the plants. So to help unlock our kids' sense of mattering, the idea that they are valued, we can do that by showing them how they can make a positive impact on the world around them, even just watering plants.
Let's wrap up, Jennifer, with a message maybe to a parent who hears themselves in this. They might think, yeah, I love my kid, but it does sound like maybe I'm putting too much pressure on the grades and the extracurriculars and so on. How can they start to tack away from that?
Yeah, so the first thing I would say is minimize criticism and prioritize affection. Minimize criticism by separating the deed from the doer and prioritize affection. Greet your kids once a day the way the family dog greets you with total unabashed joy.
Jennifer, that's a great place to leave it. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Jennifer Wallace, journalist and author of the new book, Never Enough, When Achievement Culture Becomes Toxic and What We Can Do About It.